Just one thought of you. And all we can say is, oh, let's think about our God, the high and lofty one. He says he's never far from the brokenhearted ones. Let's think about our Lord,
about Jesus,
the stars above, so we could have a glimpse of his glory up above.
Well, hello. It is so good to be with you today. Hi. Hey, welcome. My name is Marvin, one of the pastors on staff. Just a pleasure to be with each and every one of you. Especially good to see you up in the upper room over there. Hello. We see you. We love you. Thanks for being with us. And if you're online, we see you, we love you, and thank you for being with us as well. Again, my name is Marvin. I want to welcome each and every one of you that's here. And we always like to take a moment to especially welcome those that might be with us for the first time. If you're here for the first time, if you're checking things out here at Christian Assembly, welcome. We love that you are with us. We would love to get to know you. And the easiest way for us to get to know you is for you to fill out the connection card. That's the card that's in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that card, drop it in the offering bag as it comes around in a little bit, and someone on our staff will call you just as a way of saying hello. There's also a new people's table, and that is found out in the lobby back there. You can stop by that new people's table. Again, somebody will be there to greet you and give you a gift this evening. So glad that you are with us. Well, I have some exciting announcements. One, we have a partnership class that's going to be happening in just a few weeks. And partnership is a class that we offer for those who might have been here for many years or for brand new people just checking things out, but you want to learn more about who we are as a church, our values, get to know us, let us get to know you a little bit. We're going to be offering this class in June. It's called Partnership. This time we're going to offer it as a one-day class, and so you can get details on that on our website, and you can register for that, as we would love to know that you are coming. Again, that's the partnership class. You can register online. We also like to invite you to join the Women of Christian Assembly for the Women's Bible Study. Cue excited, ladies. All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Women's Bible Study is happening, spring session. They are finishing up the Gospel of John, an exciting book in the Bible. And so join the Women of Christian Assembly either Tuesday nights or Wednesday mornings. They do offer childcare. You have to go on our website, register your child to be a part of that, and it's free if you do that. Finally, I want to invite all of the men, cue excited men. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. All of the men of Christian Assembly to the Contend Men's Conference. You see my shirt? Contend Men's Conference is happening May 19th and 20th. Excited to invite you men to come and be a part of it. It's Friday night and then Saturday from 9 to 2. We're going to have three great sessions. We have an amazing guest speaker lined up for you. Breakout sessions, taco truck on Friday, churro truck, and lunch on Saturday, all kinds of good stuff, all for the low price of $35. So you can register by going out in the lobby, and we can help you register out there. And guys, if you've already registered, can I challenge you? Text the guy. Invite somebody in your circle. Say, hey, join me for the Contend Men's Conference at Christian Assembly. We would love for you to join us and bring somebody with you. Well, we're going to continue on in our time of worship as we do by the giving of our tithes and offerings. And whether you choose to give here in the service or on our app or online, we just want to say thank you for your amazing and ongoing generosity. And as we prepare our hearts for that, I would love to read scripture over us. Hebrews 12:28 says the following. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so we approach this time of worship with a grateful heart. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you so much for all of who you are. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We worship you by singing songs, but we also worship you by giving back from the resources that you've entrusted into our care, Lord. And so as we prepare our hearts to worship you in this way, Father God, would you bless us? Would you meet us as we do, Lord? Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your love. We ask that you would be with us throughout the rest of the service as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you may come.
Well, hey, church family, my name is Scott, and on this Kingdom Weekend, we have the honor to hear from our dear friend and partner, Christina, who's here with us from Elon Ministries. And Christina, we're so thankful that you're here with us, and what a powerful video that we get to see about the importance of access to God's Word. How many of us, can take for granted God's Word in our lives? Mm-hmm. And just to see the power of how God's Word is spreading in the Iran region and beyond, and the way that the sacrifice, the prayers of God's people there, and the way that how the gospel has been exploded. And so, Christina, thank you for being here to share with us. Could you share a story with us of how access to God's word is impacting lives in Iran and beyond?
Yes. For me, it's a great joy and encouragement to be here with all of you, to thank you for being part of the incredible story that God is writing in Iran. It's not Elam. We are not doing anything. We are just having the privilege to be part of his story that he's writing in Iran. And for me, it's very interesting to know that today, Iran is one of the most growing church in the world. The last 30 years, more Iranians are coming to Christ than 1,300 years combined. That is only by the grace of God. So praise God. And for me, it's always a joy to be here because you are part of that. When you pray, when you support, you know that many people are receiving the word of God. Many people are being trained to be leaders and pastors in Iran. And one of the ways, of course, is giving the word of God. This is the New Testament. It was translated and is incredible. Even the national TV in Iran is doing a propaganda for us, a marketing for free for the word of God. If we pay millions, they are not going to do, but God has a way. Nothing is impossible for God. And one of the ways, yes, is the word of God. And another way is dreams and visions. Imagine the two of them combined, what that can happen. So in one of the countries close to Iran, Turkey, actually, and we planted 53 churches in Turkey, Iranian churches. And one of the small town, this is small city, they have a small home church, Iranian. And one day this lady came, Iranian, you can see that she's a very Islamic and devoted Muslim, all covered, that heavy face. And the pastor was looking at her, say oh, what she's doing here is very heavy. And then after the service finished, she came to talk to him. And she said, I had a dream. I know in my dream was Jesus. And he said something to me. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. What that mean?
Wow.
And then this lady never read the Bible in her life. She never been in church. She never met a Christian. And God revealed to her the word of God. The pastor talking to her, she gave her life to Christ. I don't know her name, but he knows his name, her name. And I cannot wait to go to heaven, because in heaven I'm going to meet her and so many others. It's going to be a party in heaven, I can guarantee you. Thank you so much again. Hallelujah. May God bless you. May God continue to use CA Family to impact many people in your community and around the world. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Christina, we're so honored to be a part of what God's doing through our prayers, through our generosity and giving. And I want to encourage you, on your way out, there's going to be, you'll see in the lobby, a prayer guide and information about what God's doing in Iran, how you can be praying. Grab one, continue to pray for what God's doing in Iran. There'll also be in the lobby out there a stack of Persian Bibles. And so we encourage you, if you have any Persian friends who you think giving access to God's word in their heart language would be a blessing, a way to reach out, I encourage you to grab one of those as well. And Christina will be out in the lobby as well. So if you can go ahead and extend a hand, we're going to pray for Elon Ministries. Well, Father, we're so thankful, God, for what you're doing, the many martyrs, the many people who have sacrificed their lives to see the gospel spread in Iran and beyond. God, we pray, Lord, for a move of your Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name in Iran. God, that disciples be raised up, that leaders of churches, God, would be raised up, and nothing would come against the spreading of the good news of the gospel. God, we thank you for access to scriptures and what we can continue to do as a church to fund and supply the giving of scriptures in your name. And so we lift up Elon Ministries. God, we also want to lift up the team, 25 people going to Tijuana, Mexico next weekend with CA and La Roca Ministries. God, we pray you would move powerfully in that team time, and that God, there would be a blessing as people, as we step out and serve and be together next weekend. And so we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give a hand to Christina one more time? Thank you, Christina. Well, I want to share a quick announcement of our next Kingdom event that's coming up. It's our Foster Care Awareness event. That's happening on Sunday, May 21st, and we'll have lunch provided. If you want to learn more about the foster care crisis in LA County and how we can respond as believers, we'll cover ways that you can get involved, whether as a foster parent, Safe Families, or even joining care communities, which are teams of about six to 10 people from CA that are wrapping around and supporting foster families. So if you want to hear more information about that, you can register online or in the lobby. Well, now's the time for the Kingdom offering. This offering goes to support Elon Ministries, as well as all of our other local and global Kingdom partnerships and efforts that are having tremendous impact. And church family, it's such an honor that we get to partner with what God is doing all around the world through our giving. And you can give online, or as the blue buckets come around, you can go ahead and give that way as well. Ushers, you may come.
Well, let me add my welcome to those you've already received. My name is Tom. What an honor and a privilege to be here with you. And if you're a visitor guest, just a hearty welcome to you. We're so honored that you're here with us. Of course, my CA family, great to be with you. Also, those of you who are online, joining us online, whether it's your very first time or you're a longtime part of the Christian Assembly family, what a joy and honor to be with you as well. Man, I just always feel so encouraged when we hear the update of how God is at work all around the world, don't you? And God is at work in the nation of Iran, and God's at work right here in Los Angeles as well. You've already heard the update from Easter. We had 175 people make a first or a recommitment to Christ. You might not know that on the Saturday of Easter weekend, we did an outreach to Hope Gardens. About 50 of you went and served. We had 126 women and children who are part of that. It's a transitional home for women and children coming out of homelessness. And as part of that outreach, we had 32 people make first or recommitments to Christ. We also had the Good Friday, the Friday prior to Easter, we had our first ever Easter service in the LA County Jail. And we had a team go, and Jake Walker preached, and Jacob led worship, and a team went and prayed. And amazing to see God at work there as well. And last Friday and Saturday morning, we had our Fusion Revive Conference, a couple hundred young adults gathered as part of that. And 11 of them made decisions for Christ. And so we're just seeing a regular stream of God bringing people to Christ. And so praise God for the work he's doing in Iran. on, and praise God for the work he's doing in L.A. County, and he's at work in both places, right? Well, we are in a series entitled Running with the Giants, where each week we're looking at a giant of the faith from Scripture and the lessons they learned that can also apply and help us in our own lives. Now, I think of all of my worst traits, the thing that I'm the worst at of all the things that I'm bad at is I am the worst at waiting. Years ago, Timex, the watch company, did a study on how long we Americans will wait in different settings. Here's what they found. We will wait 13 seconds before we honk at a car in front of us that has stopped at a green light. 13 seconds. Like, you all are way more patient than I am in that setting. We will wait 26 seconds before we shush someone who's talking in a movie theater. 26 seconds. Like, if you're like me, you're like, why would you wait that long to tell them, like, take your conversation outside? Like, we didn't come here to hear you talk, right? We will wait 13 minutes for a table at a restaurant before we give up and go somewhere else. 13 minutes we will wait. Let me ask you, have you ever had a season in your life where you've had to wait on God? How long are you willing to wait on God to make good on a promise that he's given you from his word? There are times if you walk with God for any length of time, you will come to a moment where you realize that you don't really understand what God is doing. You don't really understand why he's taking so long to do it. Everybody I know that's ever come to followership of Jesus, once you start following, what you realize is that you're no longer following yourself. You don't get to understand everything and the timing. There are things that God does in his timing and his ways that make us wait. And so this weekend I want to speak to us about both the why and the how to wait on God. So let's consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness to us and how your gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. And I ask, God, that even now, as we come to your word, that you would speak to us. Lord, as people are hungry for your word, would you make us hungry for your word? Let us not take it for granted. Your word is living and active. Your word doesn't return void. Your word bears good fruit as we abide in it. And so now, Lord, I pray for the spiritually convinced and unconvinced. I pray for those who are physically present in this room and those who are gathering online. And I ask, God, that you would speak to us about the how and the why it's worth it to wait on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can open it to the center section and you'll see the teaching notes that are there for you that you can fill out as we go throughout our time together this weekend. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." So each week what we're doing is we're looking at one of the giants of the faith who are really just regular people from the pages of the Bible who ran their race well, not perfectly, but they ran their race well, and they learned lessons along the way, and we're taking those lessons and we're asking God to apply those same lessons in our life as well. So today we're going to go running this leg of our race with Sarah from the Old Testament. Sarah, if you know the story, she's married to Abram. In Genesis 15, God promises Abram that he will have a child, and not only that, but that his descendants will be as many as the stars. Genesis 18, the Lord visits Abram again, and he reiterates the promise again. We pick up the story there in Genesis 18, verse 10 and on. It says, Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. So Sarah's eavesdropping on a conversation between God and Abram. It says, Abraham and Sarah were both very old at this time. Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughs silently to herself as she's overhearing this conversation where God promises that Abram and Sarah will have a child, she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Now imagine you're Sarah. You're in the tent. You're eavesdropping. And then the conversation is, "Hey, why did Sarah laugh?" You know, why did she say, "Can an old woman like me have a baby?" Now here's the question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it and said, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." Like, I just love that. It's like, "No, you did. Like, just own it." Like, God knows even how we respond to him in the silence of our own heart, right? From the time of the original promise to its fulfillment with the birth of Abram and Sarah's son Isaac was a 25-year waiting period. That's a long time to wait. About halfway through the waiting, Sarah runs out of patience. She got tired of waiting. So she takes matters into her own hands. And everything gets really messy and really complicated very quickly. If we're going to walk with God for any period of time, you're going to have to wait on God to take his promises to your heart. And then there will be times in your life when you just have to wait. So what can we learn from Sarah's life for our own seasons whenever we have a promise from God, from his word to our life? But we're in a season now where God's spoken the promise, but we've not yet seen it be fulfilled. We're in a season of waiting. What are the lessons we can learn from Sarah for our own seasons of waiting on God? The first thing I would say is this, is don't complicate God's promise with your solutions. Sarah got tired of waiting halfway through the period of time. She takes matters into her own hands. We pick it up in Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. And she tries to kind of make the promise of God come about. So it says this, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' And Abram agreed to what Sarah said." Now, a couple months ago, if you were with us, we looked at Hagar's story with God in the Real ID series, and we talked about how we're never alone. If you missed it, you can go back. You can catch that message on our website or through our app. But now we see that Sarah is so tired of waiting that she tries to fulfill the promise of God by human means with her own hands. And Hagar does indeed have a son, but the story unfolds with a lot of pain for everyone involved in this unsanctioned way to try to expedite God's plan. And the surrogate solution ends up being a poor substitute for God's promise. Let me ask you, what's the surrogate solution that you're tempted to go with when you're waiting on God and a promise he's given you in your life? Abram goes from hearing the promise of God, listening to what Sarah says, without going back to ask the Lord about this plan. Which brings us to the second thing we learn from this episode, which is this: trust God. Trust God even if it takes a long time. Time for God is different than time is for us. Because God often works slow in our understanding of slowness. I once heard a guy who asked God, "What's a million years like to you?" And God snaps his finger and says, "A million years is just like a second." And the guy said, What's a million dollars like to you?" And God said, $1 million, it's just like a penny." And the guy said, "God, can I have one of those pennies?" And God said, "Sure, give me just a second." <laughs> 25 years is a long time to wait. But part of trusting God is not just trusting in his promise, but trusting in his timing. The timing that he wants to bring his promise to pass. In some ways, I would say that we're probably even less conditioned to be patient than the people in Sarah's time. Because our culture is much more instantaneous than hers was, right? Like, we want our oatmeal to be instant. We want our food fast. We want our oil changed in a jiffy. Like, when I go to Jiffy Lube and I have to wait for one car in front of me, I'm like, what an inconvenience, like, to have to wait for one car to... We just want it done like now. And none of that's bad, but it can create a condition in our heart that makes us impatient, where we have a hard time waiting when it comes to waiting on what God's doing in our life. And the problem with that is that we can be tempted to move ahead of God, to try to get ahead of God when he isn't moving fast enough for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient." Or Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes." Listen to me, church. A moment of patience can save you a lifetime of regret. A moment where you decide to wait on God rather than to run ahead on your own can save you a lifetime of regret. How many of you, maybe when you were back in high school, you know, you wanted to marry a person you met when you were 16, and you're like, you know, she's the one, he's the one, and you know, now you go on Facebook and it didn't work out. You go on Facebook, you look at them, and now you're like, thank God it didn't work out, right? Like, thank you, God, that... And it's easy to see in retrospect, but 16-year-old version of you was fussing at God for not answering that prayer, right? And I use that, it's kind of a comical one, and yet it's a true one. How many of the prayers did I pray when I was a teenager and doubted God and wrestled with God? Because I thought I knew better than he did, and I thought my time schedule was better than his was, and I thought my way of life unfolding was wiser than his. Trust God, even when it takes a really long time, but also trust God even if it seems ridiculous. Earlier we read from Genesis 18 where Sarah laughs to herself silently. Why? Because it seems ridiculous to her. She was long past the age of bearing a child. But notice the Lord says to her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" In other words, the Lord's saying, "You're insulting me by your small thinking." I'm convinced in the scriptures, some of the promises of God are so ridiculous because God wants to make it really easy for us to see that apart from him at work, it just simply couldn't happen. There are many things in our life where they just simply cannot happen unless God is at work in our life and we believe the promises of God and his power to bring to pass the thing that he said that he would do. Our best efforts won't be enough. Now listen, if you're a Christian, we don't believe the ridiculous just to be ridiculous. We believe the ridiculous only when God promises to bring the ridiculous to pass. So trust God even if it seems ridiculous. And I would say also trust God even if those around you don't. Genesis 21, verse 6 and 7, later on in the story, Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." This is after she's had the son. And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham, that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." When you look at Sarah's story, it's interesting. Sarah goes from laughing at God to laughing with God because of God's goodness to her. God has brought her to laughter. Where in your life, if you look back, have you seen God bring you to a place where you're no longer laughing out God, but now you're living in a season of laughing with God as he's brought that promise to pass in your life? And notice she reflects, who would have said this? Sometimes we need to stand on God's promises to us, even if others around us don't trust God. So this begs the question, what do we do in the meantime? What do we do whenever God has spoken to us from his word, given us a promise, and we're in that season of waiting. Like, how do we wait actively and not just passively? Brings me to the third thing I would see from this story, which is this. When you must wait, focus on what's happening in you, not what's happening to you. Let me paint the picture. Something is happening to you, and so you go to God, and your prayer is, help, God. And God says, okay, I will help, but I want you to learn something along the way. And if you're like me, you can kind of say, that's okay, God, just fix it. Like, I don't even know if I want to learn anything. I'll go to heaven dumber than a stump. Like, just fix it. Like, just make the circumstances okay. You know, God is more interested, I would suggest, in our character than our comfort. And God does this as an act of love. And don't be surprised when God does this, because this is really how any good parent does it, right? Like, when I go in and I wake my teenagers up for school, and I say, hey, get up, time to go to school, and they say, I don't want to go, I just want to sleep in. Here's what I never do. I never say, okay, just sleep in, sorry I woke you up. I never do that. No, here's what I say. Well, listen, I'm sorry that you stayed up too late last night. Get on up. You're going to school, right? Because I'm interested in what's going to develop in them as a product of them going to school. That's how God is with us. Here's how the Bible says it in Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 from the Message paraphrase. It says, that is why waiting does not diminish us. Any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother, we are enlarged in the waiting. I love that. We, of course, don't see what it is that's enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, the more joyful our expectancy. You know, there are people in our church who are labor and delivery doctors. And they respond differently than almost any other doctor would with a patient. Because normally, pain is a sign that something's wrong in the body. But not with a pregnancy, right? With a pregnancy, when a woman's about to give birth, pain is part of it. But that pain is different. You have to push through the pain to get to the good thing that is coming. There are seasons like that in our spiritual life as well. Patience is not just the ability to wait. It's how you act while you're waiting. How you grow through the season of waiting. James 1 verses 2 and 4 says it this way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Brings us to the fourth and final thing we see from Sarah's story, which is this, is that even our very best cannot compare with what God has in mind. Even our very best thoughts, our very best plans, our very best vision for our life, we can be tempted to think, God, I know how to run my life better than you know how to run my life. But that's simply not true. We don't know all that God knows. We can't see all that God can see. And we do not love ourselves as much as God loves us. God has a much better plan for your life than you have for your life. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says it this way. Since before time began, no one has ever imagined, no one, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Sarah, she spent a chunk of her life, a chunk of her story, doubting God. And just true confession, I've done that too in different areas of my life. Maybe you've done it too. Maybe you're doing it right now. But God's so amazing that this woman who laughed at God and halfway through the waiting period got so sick of waiting that she took matters into her own hands and made a mess of everything, she actually still ends up in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11, verse 11, says this, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. What a gracious summary of her life, right? And yet that's how the Holy Spirit prompted the recording of her story in Hebrews 11:11. See, the Holy Spirit is summarizing Sarah's story from the lens of where her faith got to, not where it was halfway through the story, not where it was in the beginning when she laughed at God. At the end, she realized that every time we try to go our own way, it doesn't work out too well. But she also realized at the end that God is always faithful to his promises. And God had in mind something that was so mind-blowing that Sarah couldn't even wrap her head around it. See, God's plan wasn't just that he would give Sarah a son named Isaac, but that through the slow, winding work of God, she would become part of the ancestral line of Jesus through her son, Isaac. It's not just that God wanted to use her to bring a son into the world, but that through the long, slow, patient, winding work of God, God used her to be the great, 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 and many more great, great, great grandmother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. God gave her more than she could ever ask, think, or imagine. It all began with the promise of God and a willingness to wait and trust God to be at work, as his word says, for those who wait on God. God's still in the business of giving promises, and he's still in the business of working to bring those promises to pass for those who wait on him. Let's pray. As I was praying for our time together, I know that some of you needed this message today. You're right in the middle of waiting on God. Some of you might be trusting God for wayward kids. Some of you might be waiting on a marriage to be restored. Some of you might be waiting for finances to turn around. Maybe you or a loved one is facing a difficult health situation. Listen to me. God has something in store for you that is better than you can plan for yourself or generate on your own. And so, Father, I ask now, I pray that you would give us patient endurance as we wait on you. That we would lean in, and that we would hear the promises of God to us from Scripture, and that we would trust you. That we would learn and live the lessons of this giant of the faith named Sarah. Lord, we ask that you would do a deep work on the inside of us. God, we realize that you are not slow, that you are committed to us, that you love us, that you are good and you have good things in store for us. But we also confess our impatience. Now we ask, God, that you would strengthen us. Once again, or maybe some of you for the very first time, you just need to say to God, God, I give you my life. I submit to you. I'm going to stop trying to go my own way or control my own life. I want to follow you even when I don't understand completely what you're doing or how you will bring all the goodness that you've promised to me, how you'll bring it all about. I want to trust that you're at work in my life, God. In fact, I want to just give you a chance to respond. And if you feel like you're in a season of waiting on God, maybe there's a promise he's given you. Maybe you kind of feel like, I know God's good. I know he said, but I'm waiting to see how this is going to unfold. If that's you, if you just kind of feel like, hey, I'm waiting for God in a season, I want you to just go ahead and stand right now because I want to pray for you. So if that's you, you just feel like, I got this thing, I'm waiting. And those of you online, It might seem silly, but you can just say, even online, you can just say, yeah, God, that's me. And so those of you that are seated, I want you to just look around for a moment. And I don't know what they're waiting for and what they're waiting on, but they know and God knows. And so now, would you just pick someone that's around you and pray for them? Even if you know, you might know their name, you might not know their name, but just right now, pray for them. And so God, right now, for those around us that are standing, Lord, it takes courage to stand and say, God, here I am. I'm waiting for you. And so, Lord, I pray for each person that is standing, whatever it is that they're standing for, and they're saying, God, I'm waiting for you, this promise you've given. I'm waiting to see you at work in this way. Lord, I pray that you would renew their strength and that you would renew their patience. Lord, your word says that those who wait on the Lord will mount up with like wings like eagles, Lord. For those who need wisdom in this season, may they stand on your promise from James 1 that if they ask you for wisdom, that you'll give it to them, Lord. Lord, may they stand under the governance of your promise that as they seek you with their whole heart, that they will be found by you, that you will find them. As they draw near to you, that you will speak to them. And so, Lord, even now I pray for those in the upper room, those in each of these sections, Lord, touch them now by the power of your Spirit, by the promise of your word. And I pray for them, Lord, as David once wrote, a conviction he had that he would see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Lord, I pray for each person who's standing now that they would see the goodness of you, Lord, and the land of the living. And when that happens, they would be quick to give you the glory. They would be quick to give you the praise. They would be quick to tell the story of how you worked for them as they waited patiently for you. Lord, when your power comes through, your deliverance comes through in their story, may they not rob you of the glory that is due you as you've worked in their life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.